There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have y'all along. Another hour of live local talk. And when you stop on by and see us at the Mobile Chambers Business Expo, you're kind of really seeing us, a whole bunch of the FM Talk 106.5 crew here. Dan Brennan is here handing out samples of gumbo. I don't know how that happened, but he's handing out food while he's here. And FM Talk 106.5 goodies. Also, Dalton is here. Celeste, Lauren, a bunch of us from the station are here. So come by and see us. We are at the Convention Center. This show goes, of course, till 2 o'clock. But the doors stay open here till 3 at the Mobile Convention Center for the Mobile Chambers Business Expo. All right. Without further ado, bringing on star of stage and screen and other things, my friend Dale Leach from Landyap, landyapmobile.com. Hey, man.
Hey, did you guys make gumbo? I'm confused.
No, so there's a, okay, here's the thing. So let's just you and I talk for a second. So there's one of the, you've been down here before, so you know there's the caterers are all down here, and there's a caterer that's about 10, 15 yards from us making some fantastic gumbo. And so people are now, because you know you're supposed to get a, y'all, we'll get to the politics and the news in a second. You know how you're supposed to like get a sample. And that's it. You get the sample, and that. But people here, and not just in our at our table, but other tables right here, they're kind of going back. They're eating it, and then they're pretending like they hadn't been there before, and they're going to get another one and another one, or saying, "Hey, I got to get them from other people at the table." So there's this, like, this crush of people at this place, and they're all acting like it's the first time they went to get gumbo, but it's like their third or fourth time. So that's what's going on here.
I mean, that just sounds like a smart move on their part. To be honest with you.
Yeah,
did
you ever go?
Way too much shame, though. I would 100% go up there and be like, "I've been here before. Who cares?"
I'm coming back to get it. Did you ever double dip at Halloween? Like, go and the house that really gave out the good candy, you'd come back through and try to make another pass at that house.
I always thought about it. I never did. I never experienced, like, people talk about, like, today that people get given out full candy bars at Halloween. That was never my experience. Maybe I went to cheap neighborhoods. I don't know. Because I always had to go to neighborhoods that weren't mine. Cause I lived in the middle of nowhere in Moxley, so I would go to, like, Lake Forest for trick-or-treating. So I'm not really familiar with how all of that works. But I wish I'd gotten some full candy bars back in the day. That would have been great.
I'll coach you up. You know, I'll go. We'll get our Batman costume on, and we'll go out and do it. All right. The continued discussion of, and I don't know what the numbers, but the numbers must be huge, because about every conversation I'm in, they said, "Hey, did you see the latest thing in Landyap about the defrocked, you know, the Crow?" I don't know, you can't call him formerly known as Father Crow. And there's just more and more to this story, and this story is now getting national attention. Y'all got national attention through the Nancy Grace show, and this is... And it keeps being more stuff. And you have said that every time. You're like, okay, here's what's out now, but we believe there's more coming. And we believe there's more coming. So over the weekend with these letters dropping, the love letters, it's taking it to a new level. Can you bring people up to date on what's going on in the story?
Yeah, well, so there were two letters. One, Alex Crow wrote to friends or folks within the diocese or folks within, at, you know, Corpus Christi Catholic Church. Someone named Joshua. He wrote to Joshua and said to something to the effect that Mary and Jesus had told him and this young woman to leave for Europe together. And this was before. Obviously before or right about the time that they left. More importantly, and probably the letter that made the biggest splash was one that was released. These were both released by the Sheriff's Department, by the way. The second one that was released by the Sheriff's Department, I believe, last Thursday or Friday. There's no other way to describe it. It was a love letter. It was a love letter that Crow wrote to this young lady. They believe before she graduated from McGill, too, and it would have been February. It would have been around Valentine's Day of 2023. So she was still a high school senior at this point. She had not graduated yet, or so they believe. And it basically, you know, talked about, I mean, he talked about making out. He talked about the fact that they love each other and that they're married.
Yeah, that was it. They were married, too. I mean, I remember, yeah. I mean, all that other stuff. But, like, are they married? I don't know. Like, what?
There's no legal record of any marriage between the two of them, obviously. Obviously, they believe in some way that they were married. I guess if they're writing about that in the letter or whatever, but obviously this would kind of go toward the idea that the sort of leaving to go to Rome and be together was sort of a premeditated action from months prior. He still had access to students. This was while she was still at the school, presumably. So that kind of adds an extra layer to this whole thing. And again, there have yet to be criminal charges in this case. But I know some warrants are on the way. The sheriff said, told that to Nancy Grace, and we've reported it. You know, this is all going to come to a head, probably sooner rather than later. But yeah, I think the most salacious detail so far has been this love letter, this Valentine's Day letter, where he talks about how, you know, they wish they could have a real Valentine's Day, but that would create too much scandal. Stuff like that.
Really, baby?
Interesting and frankly, kind of horrifying stuff.
Yeah, okay. And this goes a couple things here, because, I played devil's advocate with you, right, on this story as it came out, and said, okay.
A lot of people did, Sean.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it was my job, make sure, I'm looking at all signs. And it's not, I said, okay, does this look good? No, but is this actually a crime, right? Just because things don't look good or whatever, is it a crime? But then we go into the fact that you're talking about the timeline of the age and the fact that if you are, and I think this goes into this whole back and forth whether at that point, Father Crow was a teacher or not associated with the school. It doesn't matter if the person's of age. If you work for the school and they're going to the school and they're, under 19 or something like that, you cannot have any relationship.
The law says that under 19, you cannot have a romantic relationship.
Yeah, it's not just creepy. It's against the law.
Because if you have, and it goes back to this whole, we use the term grooming a lot, and we use it to describe people on the internet a whole lot. And, I think the sheriff brought it up too. I mean, there's definitely evidence to suggest that he was grooming this girl before she left, or this young lady before she left the school, before she graduated. I think I'm not saying that the sheriff has said that. And I think that the evidence, points that direction. Whether or not it'll be strong enough, I know that they said that they were waiting on some sort of electronic communications warrant to come through where they could really look at the electronic communication between the two and really get a stronger grasp on what exactly, the messages back and forth were like before they made any further decisions on charges. But it's definitely, I would say that the evidence is pointing in that direction. And it's getting stronger by the day. So we kind of have to wait and see what ultimately happens. Obviously, again, nobody's been charged with anything criminal at this point. Crow has been removed. His faculties have been removed from the archbishop. He has to, I guess, the laicization process has to be completed by a three-judge panel. I've been saying it all day. A three-priest panel, a panel of three priests that will decide his fake ultimately, but his ability to be a priest, to tell people he's a priest, you know, in most cases has been stripped by the Archbishop. And so it'll be finalized after this in about 6 months. And the Archbishop today came out and said that they are in favor of fully stripping them of his faculties.
Yeah, so
I know that the Catholic Church doesn't use defrock, but it's a good word to describe what's in the process of happening.
So, but it hasn't. I guess because earlier on, I felt like okay, the defrocking had taken place, like he had been defrocked.
I would argue. I mean, we're talking about technicalities here,
right? But I'm trying to understand.
I would argue that if he can no longer dress as a priest, can no longer tell people he's a priest, and that was done by the Archbishop through force, and I think the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops would agree with me if you look at some of their standings. I think you can call that a defrocking, even though canon law doesn't refer to it as a defrocking. We are not under any, you know, we're not under canon law here at Lanyon.
Right, right.
We're not a church publication, so I think the use of defrock is fine.
You know, in addition to that, you know, you talk about what's coming out officially out of the diocese and all that, but then y'all are reporting on what has a lot of people talking on social media about it's Father Brazil, right, speaking up,
mm-hmm.
and said, what about Crow? I mean, he is like, this isn't coming through the channel, coming through the Archbishop and down. This is like specifically one priest saying this, right? And what are they saying?
Yeah, so, Father Grazel came out on his social media pages and spoke about Crow. Really, it's the first time anyone, you know, with the Archdiocese outside of that initial statement that they gave, and this one today. It was really the first time that somebody had, another priest had spoken out sort of against Crow, and so saying, I think he said he was bad or a bad guy,
mm-hmm.
and kind of, you know, stuff along those lines, and that's significant to me because St. Mary's is so, you know, as a parish, it's a very popular parish in Midtown, and you know, I know a lot of people attend Mass there. I've attended Mass there several times. There's also, you know, it's close to the school, it's close to McGill, and I think a lot of, you know, sort of, obviously a lot of the centers on Father Crow's, you know, access to students at McGill and going on these trips with McGill students and stuff. So I think that is significant too. So the fact that, you know, he's a priest in a very popular parish, not only that, but a parish that is used by McGill for, mm-hmm. You know, that McGill students use, is also, I think it's all very, very significant. And I know there's been a lot of side eye from us publishing that and being kind of the trendsetter for other news outlets to run that stuff too. But I mean, it's Facebook comments are public comments. You know, if you put it on Facebook and people can see it, it's a public comment. So you know. And we think it's newsworthy because like I said, it's the first time anybody with the Archdiocese has said anything really, you know, publicly about the situation. So you know, we thought it was important. But yeah, I would encourage everybody to read his comments. They're on our website, lanyonmobile.com. It's a pretty interesting read.
Absolutely. So remind folks too, new issue out on the streets now. It's hot. It's a hot issue.
Yeah, it's a hot issue.
See.
It's great. Well, actually, the last issue
was the hot issue. Yes, I'm sorry.
This one's all about high school football, though. Y'all need to. It's our annual gridiron guide. We have previews of it all. I'm going to get the number wrong, and Tommy's going to tell me when I get in that I got it wrong. But I think it's 32, 33 teams that we cover in the area. We have previews on all of them. It's more than 30. So take a look. Football season's just around the corner. It's the perfect time to kind of get you in the mood and get you ready for football season. So, you can see that all online at lanyonmobile.com. Just subscribe, go through the prompts. We appreciate the support, you know, all the time. And then out on the stands right now, this is Thursday, should be out everywhere. purple boxes in the stands everywhere. The Gridiron Guide and all of our news and whatnot. So check it out.
Good stuff. I appreciate it, and we'll be talking next week. Dale Leish, thank you, man.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. We are live at the Chambers, Mobile Chambers Business Expo. Be doing the show till 2. Doors stay open till 3 here. Come by and see us at the convention center.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, and we are live at the Mobile Chambers Business Expo. Hopefully you get by to see us while we're here, and if not, check out more about the Chamber online, and hopefully we'll get the CEO of the Chamber. He's always a great guest to come in. He happened to have been AL1's congressman for a while, too, Bradley Byrne. We'll get him back on the show. Hey, this segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jamison at Adventure Earth Bicycles, home of the e-bikes. What got me back into bicycling after decades of not bicycling, and it absolutely is the e-bike. Now, the one I have that I got from Clint is the Scout by Magnum. So Magnum's the manufacturer. Scout is the model. It's an off-road e-bike. It's got the fat tires on it, the extra suspension. It's got like a tan color. Pretty cool looking bike. It's a real cool looking bike. And I talk about it a bunch, and if you see my social media posts, you'll see that. But that's not the only one. It's got 50 in stock at any time. 7 different manufacturers, so there's different kinds of e-bikes for different things you want to do with them. And so you can go buy what I love and take a test drive. It's not like you got to just buy it, you know, and not know what it rides like. So you go see Clint at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And by the way, if you're looking for regular bicycles, the non-e-bikes, 400 in stock at any time. Mountain bikes, comfort and hybrid bikes, road and triathlon bikes, beach cruisers, BMX, all in stock, but 50 e-bikes at any given time. And Clint is, he's a pro at this, so he knows what makes this bike better for this activity versus that one. You know, are you on-road, off-road? Do you want this kind of battery life, that kind of battery life? And then you get on the bike and ride it and see which one you like best. And I'm telling you, you're going to like it. E-bikes are so much fun. So you can ride them just... People always ask me, can you just ride them without pedaling them? Sure, you can. You can just do straight electric on them, but using them as a hybrid is fun, and that's what I do. You get some exercise, but you travel farther and get around and just enjoy riding more than ever before. So check them out. In person's best. Adventure Earth Bicycles right there at Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of across from Ruth's Chris. You see them online, adventure-earth.com, or give them a call, 478-1000. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, a very busy text line here, too. So let's get to some of these texts, which thank you for the discussion, the continuing discussion of fried chicken and Champies. I have not been to Champies before. I'm so much, you know, I need to get out and branch out. Baldwin County, I come to see you. We'll go to Champies. Also... My discussion of Nancy's in the day. Yep, they were my favorite fried shrimp growing up. Absolutely, were at Nancy's. Dirt Digger says here, Sean, I love Bill Bailey's Seafood in Bailey's Corner. The Lord has now got a great seafood cook. Love the West Indies salad. We will miss him. Man, West Indies salad too. That's you know, West Indies salad done perfectly is one of the best things on planet Earth. Not done properly, it's like, eh, it's okay. So. Let's see. The redistricting. Okay, so the redistricting is interesting as well. While I was asking about that with Parker Snyder last hour, he's got to remember we're looking at 2024. Right, 2024, if y'all didn't notice, we have a big election coming up. We've got a March primary in 2024. We now have this moving to from the three-judge panel to the special master to redraw the lines, right, for like a 1 and 2, and redraw the district lines. So people are going to have their voting areas changed here within months and be voting within months in those new districts. Now, what does that mean for turnout? I mean, what does it mean for confusion at the poll? Like all of us that do this every day, yeah, we're familiar with it. We'll know when our district changes, but a lot of people won't. And what will that mean in the votes when they come out? It's a lot to talk about in just a short period of time. And so we will be watching. And the other side of it is, too, this doesn't mean there's not another lawsuit. That the special master comes out with something, and we don't have another, you know, slew of lawsuits come out. So it is not done yet, for sure. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. We are live at the Convention Center with the Mobile Chamber Business Expo.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We're already talking, and the music ends, and it's fine. It's good because we're asking the same questions we'll ask when we get on the air. By the way, we are live at the Mobile Chambers Business Expo. Hopefully you stop by and see us. Doors open here till 3 o'clock, and more FM Talk 106.5 goodies to give away. I know we got more huggers and pens. Also, copies of Cam Marston's What Works book is here that was taken from his first 200 episodes of his show on FM Talk 106.5. And on the text line, by the way, too, a lot of subjects, but it looks like I'm taking a road trip. Dalton, I guess we're going to take it too. So, Champies, I'm going to come to see y'all soon. Although, like Mike told me, I got to have an hour to spend to get lunch. But I am a huge fried chicken fan, and I was just talking with Mike last hour. He is Sip from Sip and Chew, our food and wine show. And he's like overall Champies, Champies, Champies. So, Champies, I'm coming to see y'all soon. Just save a space for me. All right, I'm excited because the text line overall just says, hey, go to Champies. All right, as we talk about Mobile and the businesses in Mobile, one good thing about being here with all the like-minded folks is finding the different partnerships that make this all work, right? We talked about it earlier with ideas like, well, why does housing make a difference for the chamber, right? Well, you got to have places for people to live when they come here. Why do people come here? Well, that's a job of Visit Mobile. Why do people come here? How do we get people to come here? And joined by two of the Visit Mobile folks, Senior Vice President Patty Kiefer and Michael Dory, Partnership Manager. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So y'all are here. This is, you're like, why are y'all here? These are all, I mean, these are all businesses that are in, well, we've shown you. We're part of the chamber. We're here already. We visited Mobile. We live here.
Right.
What do you do? What are you doing with us?
Well, without our partners, which really we focus a lot on our hotels, our restaurants, our attractions, without them, we would have nothing to promote. And that's what our charge here, our mission at Visit Mobile is to attract visitors to experience everything Mobile has to offer. And whether it's the history, you know, there's so much amazing history here, the arts, you know, the performing arts, the cultural arts, as well as, you know, our culinary scene here. We have some of the most amazing restaurants with some outstanding chefs. And, you know, if you just walk down Dauphin Street,
sure,
you know that, right? And then, you know, as well as Mardi Gras, we're all about promoting that Mardi Gras, you know, first one in the U.S. So we're excited about that. And then cultural heritage is really, really big as well. So we focus on these pillars when we're out promoting our destination.
So, I mean, y'all are our ambassadors to the world and to other states.
That's right.
Okay. So with that being your charge and your challenge, yeah, how do you, because there's probably a lot of other Visit Wherevers out there trying to get people to go there too,
of course,
right?
And that's competition.
You're right, competition. We're all making our best case for it. So you talked about those different pillars. You have areas that you're going to focus on and say, here's why, I mean, are you basically saying, here's why y'all should come here?
Why Mobile?
Yeah, why Mobile? Because
yeah,
somebody else is out there, the last person was telling them, well, you need to come to Anywhereville, Kansas, or whatever it
mm-hmm,
is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your job is to say, don't go there, come here.
Come here for some authentic experiences, which they're, you know, they can't experience the history of Africa Town,
right,
anywhere else, that amazing story. Again, like we're talking about partners here at the Expo, without that heritage house, without those tour guides within that community, we would have nothing to promote. So that's just one of what we offer.
Right. But yeah, it's nice because it helps remind us of who we are, too, because things we, I don't know if take for granted is the right word, but you talk about the Heritage House, but you talk about also the ecotourism and those
right,
things. You know, I talk about that with a buddy of mine, Ben Raines, right?
Yeah,
he does ecotours, and this is stuff we just grew up doing.
Right.
Right? The Delta and being in those places, that's just, like, everybody knows that. Why? But they
everyone
don't.
Everyone doesn't know that's
right,
a hot spot
right,
in the world of one of the most pristine Delta regions.
Right. So,
yeah,
so we it helps remind us who live here that this thing is special. At the same time, you take that message out there, and I guess, yeah, things we may take for granted here at home, It's Mardi Gras. It's our heritage. It's the Delta. It's so many other things. To somebody who's not from here, that might be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, right. You drive across that bay, and you look at that beautiful, pristine waterway. I don't take it for granted because I love it every day,
right.
But I can take other things for granted, you know, that's for sure. The food, nobody can beat our food.
Right.
You know, we have our own twist on it.
But you have to market, because if somebody's never heard of Mobile or other than they passed through here one time on I-10.
Yep. And that's why we have our sales team out there right now. We have one of our sales members is in Winnipeg, Canada, promoting to Student Youth Travel Association. So we want to bring in travelers from all over the world. And it just happens that he had to go to Canada to meet these group tour operators that come in. You know, we go to different cities. It doesn't matter the city we're going to. It's who we're meeting. We're leaving next week. The whole sales team is going to Minneapolis. We're meeting with meeting planners from all over the world that are looking for destinations, want to learn more about destinations, what they can offer them for meetings. And so we have six of us going. We're having one-on-one appointments. I don't even know how many hundreds of appointments we have total, but it's like 3 days back-to-back one-on-one appointments, just like you and I sitting here having a conversation. They're telling we have different clients that we're dealing with. We have group tour operators bringing in those tourists. We have meeting planners bringing in the conventions and meetings. And so they're meeting with meeting planners next week. And they're saying, this is what Mobile has to offer as far as your hotels, your meeting space. You know, we're so excited with the changes and the new developments as far as the meeting spaces that we have here between the convention center and the civic center. You know, some of those enhancements are going to make a big difference. And the big game changer is going to be that airport moving downtown.
Well,
that is a game changer for us.
And is that the kind of, we've got these people that are putting together these trips. They probably got a checklist, right? You got to come in there, and that's so something like that. So how far is it from the airport to my hotel?
Exactly.
How did you get questions like that?
Of course. That's what we talk about. What we have already in place is amazing in that we have a walkable convention package. You know, between right where we are at the convention center, you literally are attached to the Riverview with 373 rooms. And then you're like just a few blocks from all the other amazing hotels nearby. So they want to know, like, how many rooms can I book on peak, 800 or whatever?
Okay.
How much space do you have at the convention center? These are things we have to know off the top of our head to promote our partners. And like I said, without them, we would not have an amazing city to sell. So we appreciate everything that they're doing to keep these facilities up and running and all the improvements that they're doing. We work closely, you know, we collaborate. That's what we do. That's what we need to do to make this a successful endeavor for all of us.
It's art and science then, because we start talking about all these superlatives for our city and these things that are great, but they're the softer side of why you should come here. But then there's just a straight business side. Patty, I need to be able to put this many heads and this many beds,
and
I need a place for them. So there's that part of it too. It's not just like, okay, y'all are great, we like it, but we've got to have this, we got to have that.
Yeah. Do you know what our greatest asset is in this city?
Other than Dan Brennan, who works for me, I don't know. What is it?
Well, a person, the people.
Yes.
That's what really brings them back. That hospitality community that we have is second to none. You know, every day at Visit Mobile, we wake up knowing that we're here to support that hospitality community. There's 18,000 people in that community that we're supporting, their families, and we're keeping them employed. And so that's what we do every day when we come in, whether it's sales, whether it's marketing. We're keeping these people employed, keeping these lights on, you know, helping to bring the world to Mobile is how it happens.
So was there a sea change or through COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And that did we come out of COVID with a different perspective or a renewed vigor? Or, like, Patty, in your opinion, what is it?
I think it was a renewed vigor, and you don't take anything for granted. And now remember, at Visit Mobile, we're always focusing on bringing business in the future. Like, I know the expo is here right now. Sometimes I'm up in my office and I don't know what's in the building. And I hate to say it like that, but, you know, we're always talking about the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right now, Tom, that's in Winnipeg, Canada, working with student youth travel organizations, he's talking about 1-2 years from now, bringing him in. So during COVID, we were still working. You know, there were some of us that were working, you know, remote here and there, but we were still working for the future. So I'll say that was one of our best years. As far as room nights, that's what we're focused on.
Right.
Okay. We're measured by room nights. Everything else falls into place. I mean, you got people staying in a hotel, spending money. you know, you going to the restaurant, you got to get them here.
Yeah, put a head exactly. in the bed and then right. all the other things
All
happen.
The other things fall in place. They go to the restaurants, they go to the attractions, they're spending money on transportation. All that adds up. Yep.
And Michael Dory, you're a partnership manager. What is a partnership manager?
Well, I keep track and kind of help organize and stay in touch and communicate with our partners, which I know Patty mentioned a lot of the main ones, the ones that people initially think of, you know, the hotels, the restaurants, the attractions. But we have lots of other partners as well. You know, those attractions and things that she mentioned, that's kind of what gets people here. But then once they get here, there's other services that they may not have been what drew them here. But they need it. They might need car repair. Mm-hmm. They might need flowers for their event. They might need lots of other things. And so that's one of the advantages of an expo like this, that we can meet and talk to potential partners, businesses that might not be the first ones you think of. But right. you're like, wow, you know what? We get lots of requests for that.
And then you meet somebody who goes, Michael, I can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
We need this thing. And then that person says, I can do that, or I know somebody over here. Go to this next booth down. They can do that.
It's a wonderful event for that. You know, local transportation is a big ask that we get. People will fly or get to town, and they're like, now how do I get around town?
Right.
You know, so local transportation companies are a big ask for us. So you never know. Every visitor needs something. And by being a partnership manager and organizing and being in touch with the community, we're great for referrals. You know,
people,
I get so many calls. Michael, I need this. Michael, I need that. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? And I'm able to point them in the right direction and make sure that they're utilizing all the great people and assets and services we have here in Mobile.
So, once again, ambassadors for us.
That's right.
And, if people want to be, they go, hey, I listen to Michael talk. I listen to Patty talking. I got something they may need to know about. Can they reach out to you if you haven't
sure.
talked to them yet?
Please.
They can go on mobile.org and look up staff, and they can see our names listed with our phone numbers.
Yes.
And if they really want to get involved, they can join our Tourism Ambassador Program, which is a 5-week course. Mike, do you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah,
he's heading it up.
Yeah, our Tourism Ambassador Program is an opportunity for locals to get involved and learn about the tourism industry. It's a 5-week course where they do some hands-on training. They go out and experience some of our attractions and hotels, do a little bit of volunteering at some events, and see what it's like to be an ambassador, where people are asking them questions about Mobile, and they have this pride and this energy to be able to speak with authority about the city that they live in. And so the Tourism Ambassador Program, we also have a welcome center. We staff the welcome center downtown Mobile with Mr. Walter Calhoun. But he's always looking for volunteers. If somebody wants to get out into the city and get face-to-face time with tourists and visitors, tell them to go see Walter at the Welcome Center. He'd love to sign them up and let them greet some guests.
Absolutely. All right. This is exciting. And if people want to find the area of need greatest, right? So y'all are, I'm thinking about this, your last question here, but the people are going, okay, I do this, this could help with people. What are we... I would say lacking has a negative. Mm-hmm. What do we need more of?
Workforce development, is an issue. There are jobs out there. If you want to be in the hospitality industry, there are jobs out there. And you can go to workinmobile.com, and you can see what positions are open at some of the restaurants and our hotels. But there's still a shortage of staff people at a lot of these hospitality organizations. Yeah, like hotels and restaurants, attractions.
Opportunities are there.
They're there. You want a job? There's probably one out there.
Good stuff. Michael, Patty, thank you.
All right.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you very much. So, you can get in on this discussion as well when you come down to see us at the Mobile Chambers Expo. Doors open until 3 o'clock. We'll be doing this show for another about 15 minutes or so. So come by and see us and say hello.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back. Midday Mobile live from the Mobile Convention Center for the Mobile Chamber of Commerce's Business Expo. And so many folks stopping by and visiting here. It's been a lot of fun. And we'll do it again next year. Got a little bit of time here. I want to check the Ascension Technologies text line, which is full, by the way, which is full of discussions of fried chicken, which is good, which is a good thing. I, like, it's a, uh, So I'm heading to Champions. Looks like a bunch of us. Oh, and speaking of heading to places, too, so I saw Ryan, my buddy from the Sanger, down here. You know, they got their summer movie series going on, showing these movies, these classic movies on the big screen. It culminates, it peaks here on the 27th of this month with Smokey and the Bandit on the big screen at the Sanger. I know a lot of folks from the station, a lot of y'all listening, are going down there. And he did tell me, confirmed again, that for sale there at the bar, Coors Banquet beer. The actual 400, remember the 400 cases? It wasn't Coors Light they were going to get. It was the old tan cans. Those will be for sale as well when you come down to the event. I think it's 3 o'clock. I think it's 3 o'clock on Sunday the 27th, but more on their website. Now, before we get to it, I'll remind you of the exact time. I think tickets are $6. All right. Some comments here on the redistricting thing. I mean, listen, there's an idealistic question that bothers me, right? This idea that we're being told that you have more in common with somebody clear across the state because of skin color than you do with your neighbor of a different skin color that you work with and kids go to the same school and you go to the same grocery store. That's frustrating. But the pragmatic part of this, too, is can they get this all turned around in time for people? I mean, because we are talking 2024 right around the corner. And will people know, you know, I mean, I know you will, but will other people know where they're voting and those changes in it? And also, how do you feel you're going to be represented? If you're somebody who's in Dothan and you're now in AL1, the dominance of attention for AL1 is going to still be here. I mean, I could say in a mercenary way, it will be more attention for us down here because we will have, if the maps drawn end up being like what they're saying they're going to be, we will have part of District 2 and then, of course, District 1 all in our area. So we'll have dual congressional districts within the sound of this radio station, for example. That will be, you know, it'll be more attention for here, but does it split the community? You know, they're saying, well, we don't want to split communities, but it absolutely splits communities. When you're trying to put somebody into a district with somebody who is so far away, who may have no commonality with those people, but you're now linked together in that congressional district. So there's definite pragmatic part of this discussion, but the idealistic part drives me crazy as well. We keep getting told that the reality is different than at least the reality in my world out there. All right, update on the and Jeff talked about it some. This Alabama Power situation. This was I saw bits and pieces of this Chandler Mountain project because it's not in our neighborhood, but it came up in a lot of discussion online. I saw Chandler Mountain this, Chandler Mountain that, and it looks like a big turn of events here in this story. So the story says, since Alabama Power announced plans to build a new hydroelectric facility on Chandler Mountain, residents in St. Clair and Etowah counties have been fighting to keep their homes and businesses above water. First of all, hydroelectric, I mean, the discussion of hydroelectric, it's really weird that we're doing this now because, like, I haven't heard of a new dam build for hydroelectric in quite a while. But Alabama Power was looking to do this, and it looks like they had opposition from both the left and the right. So usually Alabama Power gets what they want. In this case, it doesn't look like it. So the people that would have lost their property, right, as you put the dam up and flood the area, they push back. Environmentalists, and I consider myself in the world of environmentalists, too. I think we got to have, you know, we have some dam infrastructure. Some's used more than others, you know, on our rivers for locks and be able to move goods up and down the river. But do we have the need for more of hydroelectric out there? And at the same time, we start interfering once again with river courses. I thought we were kind of beyond that, but it looks like they weren't. And then when it came out, I guess the change was you have members of the Public Service Commission that are pushing against Alabama Power, which is not an everyday thing you see. It says in the story here, on down here, it said, quote from this man, Burton, Brandy Burton, yeah. Somebody who would have lost their power. Steel resident Brandy Burton said, if the project happens, hundreds of acres of her family's land will be underwater. Her father, brother, her uncle, her cousins live there. She said her 62-year-old dad is not ready to retire and can't afford to start over. She said, that's my dad's livelihood. That's his business. We don't have any other land. That's where we have everything. I mean, we definitely aren't the only ones who are going to be affected. And this actually kind of goes in with yesterday's discussion of eminent domain, because that's what they're going to be using for this, right, to take that property. Burton added, it's scary. We recently bought a house in the area, and we're still remodeling. We don't know if that house is going to be underwater or if we're going to be able to raise our family there. We don't want to go anywhere. Both Burton and Summerlin said they're thankful their fight against the project is getting attention at a statewide level. And now it comes out that you have Craig Lipscomb, Twinkle Cavanaugh, and Chip Beaker with public PSC saying they're against it as well. So it looks like in this case, maybe Alabama Power didn't win this one. But we'll talk about that going forward. Remember to check more of this out online at fmtalk1065.com. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.